Hey, thanks for checking out this message from LifeGate Church. We hope that God uses this message to encourage you and to help you live in the freedom and purpose that Jesus has for your life. Hey, thanks for checking out this message from LifeGate Church. We hope that God uses this message to encourage you and to help you live in the freedom and purpose that Jesus has for your life.
Good morning, everyone. If I haven't met you before, I feel like there's a few faces I don't know. My name is Kath. I look after our kids here, which is why I may not have met you yet, because I'm often under there, down there, or at our other campus. But it's so good to be here today and to share with you something that's really close to my heart. I love kids, which is quite an advantage for my job. And I love families, not just kids, but families. In our family, we have a monthly compulsory family fun day. Sometimes it feels more compulsory than fun, but, you know, you roll with it because every month's different. But what I love at the beginning of the year is when we sit as a family and everyone throws in their ideas of what do I want to do for family fun day. So there's Mark and I, and then we've got a 13, a 10, and a 5-year-old. So what everyone loves to do can be a little bit different. Hence why sometimes you need to choose fun on Family Fun Day. But anyway, it's great because it's part of everyone gets a voice. I love that. We try and have a Saturday Sabbath where we'll sit and have breakfast together. Also have movie nights together. I love those quality family times that we get. We're quite a busy family, so we don't get many of them, but we grab them when we can. So if you think about all the things that you might value in life, I very much value family. I know sometimes when I'm getting stressed about things, Nathan will say to me, yeah, Kath, but you know, family's like really big for you, right? I was like, yes, family is really, really important for me. I grew up in a Christian family, and praise God, I am still really close to my little brother and my little sister. The first week of the holidays, we went and spent a week at my sister's farm. She moved 4.5 hours away last June, and this March was the first year in our lives we haven't seen each other for our birthdays, which was sad because we are really, really close. But we had a beautiful time on their farm watching chickens hatch and holding lambs and cows. It was amazing, so much fun. Anyway, I know that I'm sharing about family today, but I also know that for some people, they don't have that, and that family might not have been nice for you growing up. Maybe you've just moved, like my sister has, and there is no family around where you live. And that's why we have church family. Amen? Amen? So my oldest kids, they don't have any cousins their age, but here at LifeGate they do. They have heaps of cousins. And they have big brothers and big sisters. I think first playgroup, Joel Gordon just knocked Acacia to the ground, and I was like, well, meet your brother. There we go. That's what family is. Care for each other well. This is our family. So like I said, I was raised in a Christian family. My parents are first-generation Christians. They became Christians in their young adult years, and they raised my brothers and I, my brother, sister, and I as to follow Jesus. And so I made a decision in my teen years at 16. I discovered that just because mum and dad are Christian doesn't make me Christian. So I had to make that decision for myself. And now Mark and I are raising our three daughters to follow Jesus. But they also have grandparents investing in them and praying for them. My Acacia will get a text message from my mum every now and then. Hey, praying for you, what can I pray for? And she's like, that's a bit weird. I was like, no, not. That's awesome. Tell her. She's really praying for you. This is real. She's not just saying that. So my kids have been making decisions to follow Jesus around 8 to 10 years old. You see, the kingdom is expanding from my parents as adults to me as a teenager, to my kids. And so they were two people who chose Jesus, raising three kids. They now have 7 grandchildren. And whatever great-grandchildren are coming, they have committed to praying for and investing in and raising our family to follow Jesus. So what a ministry, take everything else out of this world, what a ministry we have to raise our families. Amen? And parents, you are the greatest influence in the faith journey of your kids. Especially, that's coming. Did you read my notes? So I've read a lot of articles. I talked to other pastors. And it says that most children will make a decision to follow Jesus by the time they're 12 years old. So Your parents are your greatest influence in that time of your life. And so parents are the greatest influence in a faith journey. And like Brucey said, especially fathers. God, our Father, has given us fathers to represent him. Sometimes our fathers do that well, and sometimes they don't. Good or bad, that is an influence to our faith journey. So as we pursue God and invest in our children, as we pray for their faith, we will greatly influence their journey. And this is why when we see people do amazing things in the kingdom of God, there's often multiple generations of people who have prayed for and invested in them. So in Life This Week today, you said we're doing a used version by Reinhard Bonnke. But if you read his story, it was his grandfather who was the first in their family who had an encounter with God, miraculous experience of God, and chose Jesus. And from then, raised a family to follow him. And then we have people like Reinhard Bonnke making a massive impact in the kingdom. So what are our children and our grandchildren going to be doing for the kingdom of God? What a cool thing to ponder. Yeah? But I want to make a note too that we can't make someone a Christian. So if you're sitting there today and maybe your kid has made a decision different to what you raised them, keep praying, keep investing. Amen? Because we do what we can. We pray, we invest, we influence, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? God gave us free will. So do not hold guilt, please, today. We cannot make people Christian. And if you're not a parent today, that's okay too. Because like I said, we're a church family. And we have been a part of LifeGate for about 13 years. And when each of our children was born, we stood here and we said, Mark and I said, we have committed to raising our kids to follow Jesus. And we ask you, LifeGate, to partner with us. Yes. I sent Christy a message this morning going, thank you for being someone where if my Acacia's having a moment and doesn't want to talk to me, I know she's going to some amazing people. Amazing young adults. And so as I read and talk, families, yes, parents, you are the greatest influence to your kids. Well, the second greatest influence in a kid's faith journey is their church family. It is kids' ministry. It's what we do here on a Sunday as we invest in your kids. And can I tell you, church, if you did not know, some of my most or our most passionate kids' leaders are ones who are raised to follow God, who walked away and came back to the foundations of their faith as young adults. And they are so passionate because they know whatever happens, if those seeds can be planted in their childhood years, that is a firm foundation. Amen? And they are the people who are investing in your kids' lives. All right? Also, when we go out into schools, when we teach SRE, when we go into that place where parents, okay, I'm sympathetic to the Christian faith, but I've got other things to do on a Sunday. I get to invest. We had a commissioning service for SRE teachers a few weeks ago, and one of the pastors said, he said, do you know this is the only public institution we are welcomed to speak about Jesus? For these kids, it's their church. It's their church family where they are hear the message of Jesus, and I can pray for and invest in them. As Christy starts up Thrive to invest and disciple the young adults of our church so that they will grow in the foundations that have been laid in their lives. So church is such an amazing influence. And I hope that you're already thinking about who it is you might be investing in. So like I said, my kids made a decision about 8 or 10. We were at this church. And I remember Acacia, we were during the lockdowns, we were doing online messages. And it was something I think Nathan said. And she came to me and she said, I really want this, Mum. And I'm just going to take a moment to be emotional because I'm really excited, like how exciting is it when your kids turn around and say stuff to you? And I was like, well, let's pray. What should we pray? Who should we pray with? And we saw that day that one of our amazing, at the time, amazing kids leaders was the host that day. And Acacia says, I want to pray with Donna. So kids ministry is so important. Yes, parents have an influence, but my daughter wanted to go to one of her kids leaders and said, pray with me today. How amazing is that? And over Easter, as our youth and young adults were baptized, my 10-year-old comes home and goes, man, that's what I want. I want that for my life. As she heard the testimonies of kids saying, yeah, I want to tell people this is it. This is who I am and I've chosen Jesus. So young adults, can I tell you, you are influencing my children. Whether you realize it or not, they're looking up to you. They're looking up to us. And my Willow is still learning and deciding. And that Grace that Nathan pointed out when we dropped Acacia to youth camp on Friday, she just ran into Grace's arms because she loves and the people that she is looking up to, what a place to have people surrounding us. Amen? So we have here grandparents and parents. I don't think there's any great-grandparents. Maybe there are. But I know here that you love your families. Amen? And I hope that you know, and if you don't hear it today, it is so valuable for you to be investing in your family. But I wonder if you know how. Like I've said, one of the greatest things we can do is grow spiritually ourselves, to be pursuing Jesus in our own lives. Because the fruit of that will be a life of prayer. And we will pray for those who we are investing in. Pray for those who have walked away. Pray for those above us who have gone before us. We read the word and share that with our family. One of the things we do at our family mealtimes is we will do a devotion together. And I love the conversations that come out of that. You invest time into the relationships and teach and train in the way of Jesus, because it's very different to the world. So LifeGate, how have you already seen? Can you see how you've already been investing? I know that Nikki, who prays early in the mornings, and I used to pray with her in the mornings when my schedule worked for that time of day, I would sometimes text her and say, hey, there's some stuff going on in kids' ministry. Can you pray for that? And she's like, I'm already praying. I am already praying. So can I encourage you that our prayer teams are praying for you? They're praying for our church. They're praying for our children. They're praying for our youth. And I wonder if sitting here you can go, oh, actually, I've been investing and I didn't even realize I was. Well, I'll tell you someone else who loves family. God. God loves family. He created Adam and Eve to be a family. And in Genesis 1, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Grow this family. He spoke to Abraham and he said, number those stars if you can. So shall your offspring be. He'll grow his family to outnumber the stars. God introduced himself to Moses and to others as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a generational God. And so Jesus was born into a family. He was raised by Mary and Joseph here on earth. Our God loves family. And we see it in his word that he works through family. King Solomon said, train a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Whatever happens, those foundations of the childhood, how we have trained that child, he will not depart from it. I hold to that verse as I pray for parents when they come to me and go, what do? I say, keep investing, keep praying, keep training. And Solomon was known as a wise king. He wrote the book of Proverbs and leaving us many, many proverbs of wisdom. My question is, where did he get his wisdom from? He asked for it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we see that King Solomon has an encounter with God one night after worship. And in a dream, God asks him, what do you want? Whatever you want, what would you ask for? And Solomon asks for wisdom. God says, sure. He's so impressed by Solomon's humility in asking for wisdom when he could ask for anything, that he also gave him fame and wealth and power, like most kings sought after. But he sought after wisdom, and he humbled himself before God. But who taught Solomon humility? Who taught Solomon to be a man after God's heart? Who taught Solomon to seek wisdom? Who invested in him and who prayed for this wise King Solomon? It was his father, King David, known as a man after God's own heart. So I want us today to have a little look at David and how he invested in his son. That encounter with Solomon and God is in 2 Chronicles, which, to give you some context, the books of Chronicles give us a religious history of what happens from a viewpoint of the temple and the church. And 2 Chronicles goes from Solomon through the other kings. 1 Chronicles does a genealogy from Adam through to King Saul and David. So these two books are a history of the religious history record. Okay, it focuses on the temple and gives us an understanding of the kings from this church viewpoint. Whereas the books of 1 and 2 Samuels and 1 and 2 Kings look at the kings and what's happening there and wars and all that sort of stuff, the lineage of the kings. All right, so we're going to look at the religious history. We're looking at Chronicles. So if you can turn with me to 1 Chronicles, we're going to speed through chapters 17, 24 and 28 because I want us to give a big picture of what David did. And hey, parents, it takes a long time to invest in your children, right? And so I can't read all of 1 Chronicles because we'll be here for a long time, okay? And we'll all be exhausted. So I've just sort of skimmed through some bits. Please feel free to go back and read it. So like I said, David was known as a man after God's heart. God had taken him from a pasture, a shepherd boy, and God made him king of Israel. God gave him favor as a leader, as a warrior. He established his kingdom, gave him a city, gave him a palace. And in gratitude and in worship, David just longed to build a temple for God. The presence of God still dwelled in a tent. And he's like, oh, look what I got. Look what God has done for me. I want to do something for you. Worship. It's going to be amazing. He had these great ideas. And so through the prophet Nathan, God said, no, it's not you. You are not going to build a house for me to dwell in. I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons. And God said, it will be Solomon, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will not take my steadfast love from him. His throne shall be established forever. So did David sulk? Oh, I didn't get to build that temple from God. No, he invested in Solomon. All right, God said it's my son. Well, I'm going to invest in him. I'm going to train him. I'm going to teach him the way to God. I'm going to influence him to be a man after God's heart, a man after wisdom. And so in chapter 22, we see David making some of these preparations. He says, Solomon, my son, he's young and inexperienced. And as I did a bit of research, I discovered that Solomon was about 20 when he became king of all Israel. So yeah, he was young and inexperienced. Sorry, 20-year-olds in the room. And the house that is to be built must be exceedingly magnificent. David knew all that God had done for him. Solomon had just grown up in a castle. But no, it's got to be exceedingly magnificent for fame and glory throughout the lands. All right, what's a father going to do? All right, I will make the preparations. All right, I better set him up to win, right? So David goes and purchases all the equipment that he needs, all the timber, all the fabrics, all the everything that was needed. He organized teams to work for Solomon, to influence people to support Solomon so that he can walk through all that God has prepared for him. And then towards the end of his life, David encourages Solomon to pursue God above all things. He says, only may the Lord grant you discretion and wisdom. Does that sound a little bit like wisdom? Yeah, David said, may the Lord grant you discretion and wisdom that he gives you, that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Fear not, do not be dismayed. You're 20, this looks pretty big, overwhelming, but that's all right. Be strong and courageous. No, set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. David didn't say to Solomon, let's go get an architect degree so you build a really awesome temple. No, he said, seek God above all things. Seek understanding, seek discretion. And he did it again and again. Because parents, we don't train our kids and they get it first job, do they? Still trying to get mum to pack the dishwasher. Don't just clear the table, put it in the dishwasher, you know? Again and again and again. So David is saying it again to Solomon. Again in chapter 28, he says, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with your whole heart and with a willing mind. Yeah, let God guide you. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now. Any parent ever said that? Be careful. Be careful. For the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Don't stop halfway, do it. Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's pretty cool. So God had taken David from the pasture as a shepherd, made him king, and as a man after God's heart, David fought for freedom. And he dreamed of great things for God. He did amazing things for God, and he dreamt of even more. Solomon started as king, grew up in the royal family, and he lived in freedom. The season he ruled was a time of peace. He didn't have to fight for freedom. He lived in that freedom that his father fought for. And he saw the dreams of his father fulfilled. And yes, David and Solomon stuffed up. Anyone not? We all have. There were good and bad kings that followed David and Solomon, but God was faithful to his family. He promised King David that his throne would be established forever. And 28 generations later, Jesus was born into his family. Jesus came to bring freedom and to fulfill the promise to establish his kingdom forever. So the promise of Messiah to rescue all people so that all might have the opportunity to become part of the family, to be made right with God through faith. So we aren't, I don't think anyone here is part of the family because of their bloodline to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon through to Jesus Messiah. But we get to be part of the family because of our faith lineage. Abraham believed God could make his family outnumber the stars. And Genesis says that Abraham believed and God credited it to him as righteousness. He's the father of faith. And so John wrote, for those who have faith in the blood of Jesus, he said, for all who received, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So by faith, we are part of God's family. We are children of God. He is our father. God is our father. Whatever your earthly father has been, great or not, they're never as great as God the Father. And he is the one who's investing in you and training you by his word and by his spirit. So family or not, you can be part of the family. So my question today is, are you part of the family? Is God your father? Have you made a decision to follow Jesus and to be part of this expanding kingdom of God? Well, if not, I want to give you an opportunity to pray right now with me and to join the family. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. I'm really sorry for where I've gone wrong. But I believe that Jesus came and died for me. And I choose to follow him for the rest of my days. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family. I started sharing that the greatest influence is family. Whether biological or church family, they are the greatest influence on our faith journey. And they can be the greatest support on our faith journey. So I want us to consider now some of the influences in your life. Who have been the greatest influences in your life? Did you make a decision as a child before the age of 12? or maybe in your teen years. Maybe you made that decision right now, today, whenever that was in your life. I want you to consider who are the greatest influences in your life leading to that decision. If you made a decision as a teen or as an adult, who was it praying and investing in you as a child? If you made the decision today, how many people of your lifetime, as you reflect, have prayed for and invested in you? You may not even know. And maybe today, as you leave, you could text them, give them a call, say thanks. Maybe you can't, and that's okay. But isn't it wonderful to reflect on how God has brought people into our lives and through our lives? So whether good or bad, we all have influences and we all influence. And it's affected our lives. It's affected who we are today. Our families usually are that greatest influence. So I want us to consider as a church today, who are you influencing? And how are you influencing? Are you pursuing God for yourself? Are you growing? Because like we sang earlier today, if I'm not dead, he's not done. Amen. So there's still more for me to grow. There's still places I can get greater revelation of who God is as my Father. Who am I investing time in? Who am I praying for? Keep praying. How am I reading the Word? And how am I sharing that with my family? We started this year in kids' ministry doing memory verses with the kids. And we give them a little card and they memorize the verse and then come back. And if they've memorized it, they'll get a lollipop. Some kids are doing it for the lollipops, let's be real. But they're learning the Word, right? And so to help us with that, because I heard a few parents going, what's the memory verse? Because supposedly these little cards we give them don't always make it home. So I've asked Nathan if we could pop it into life this week so that each fortnight you'll see, hey, and if you don't have family here, know that this is what kids are learning. This is what kids are getting written in their heart. So learn the verses because, hey, whatever age you are, it's good to learn the Bible. Amen? Amen? And share it with the people around you. And this week, we're even teaching our little treasures. From 1 year old, we're getting them, hey, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Kids need signs because they can't read yet. But they will know that. How awesome is that? Because if God created me, he values me. Wouldn't that be a great foundation for every single person to have? Amen? Amen. But I want to finish today because I know that family is amazing and I love family, but family can bring up hurt and pain and trigger stuff in us. So I want to spend a bit of time before we finish now together to pray, and then I'll invite, if you want more prayer at the end, you absolutely are welcome. But I just want to pray for those people who might have some hurt stirring or there might be brokenness in relationships that need restoring, and that today, yeah, that you'll have a fresh revelation of whatever has happened to have God as your Father. So let's pray together. You can pray with me. In your heart, Lord God, I thank you so much that you are our Father. And God, you are a God who loves family, who birthed us into families. And I know for some that the word family brings hurt. So God, I pray for those who are hurting today, that you will come by your Spirit and that you will bring healing today. That you will give a fresh revelation of who you are as the perfect Father. That you have given us the right to be your children and part of your family. Lord God, as we look at our family, where there's a brokenness that needs restoring, Lord God, I pray today you will work by your Spirit to restore families and relationships. God, if there's anything that we need to forgive, or ask forgiveness of, please open our eyes to that. Any words that we have spoken over people in our family in hurt, that you will give us the courage to forgive and to repent. Because if we seek you, God, we will be found by you. God, I pray restoration will come today in the name of Jesus. And I pray for each one of us today, God, that you will give us a picture of who you are as our Father. That if you need to in our minds, that you need to rewrite our family tree. That God, we can see the spiritual mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters that you have brought into our lives and through our lives around us, oh God. That we are part of the family, your family, oh God. And God, I pray for our children. Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, for the generations to come. And I pray that every single one will choose you. That as we pursue you, as we invest, as we teach and train and disciple, that every single one will encounter you, will choose you, Lord God, and that each generation will grow stronger and stand in your kingdom. That we'll have many more Reinhardt Bonnkes as people stand up because of the generations of faith before them, Lord God. Thank you for what you are doing in us and through us today and in the generations to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, if you want further prayer, please come forward. Our prayer team will join us at the front. And if not, be released. Have a wonderful day. Go hug your family if they like hugs. And yeah, if you need to go thank someone or just really share how you're investing in, I just pray that you'd be really encouraged today. Amen. Be released.
Thanks so much for checking out this message. Lifegate Church has people meeting in person and online in many different locations, and we'd love to help you get connected. My name's Andrew and I lead our online team here at Lifegate Church, and it's our job to do exactly that. We'd love to help you find community, get support and prayer, and take your next step. So why don't you connect with us and take your next step at lifegate.org.au and click the next step button.